everybody. Welcome back to Solid Performance Solutions. I'm Chris McCabe, once again with Leah McHugh. And today we are talking about this strange and alarming phenomenon where Amazon account health reps, I guess also sometimes they call themselves leadership team members. And if you're emailing escalations or appeals in, sometimes you get a call that they initiate from escalation team members. But the confusion around Amazon's definition of what a dispute is when you're disputing an account suspension, when they think you violated policies, violated the code of conduct. Typical calls to account health usually result in, hey, the only path forward, the only way you can possibly be reinstated is to prove us wrong, prove that we made a mistake, prove in a successful dispute that you have evidence or proof or documentation that we erred, you were not at fault, we thought you were doing something, you weren't doing it.
Well, so let's back this up a little bit, because it's not just account health. It's also the wording that's coming in the suspension notification or the ASIN restriction notification, that the only path to reinstatement is a dispute, which they actually, I believe, say that in the wording that a dispute, that this action was taken in error, which is how I would read that messaging. I think the issue here is that, well, one, a lot of times sellers can't dispute it because Amazon was not incorrect in their action. And two, it seems like there is confusion internal to Amazon about what they mean by a dispute. Some people seem to think that you can dispute these things by blaming an employee, which for me personally, I'm not sure how blaming an employee proves that Amazon took this action in error.
I think Amazon people are suggesting that you take that approach because they have nothing else to suggest, nothing else to say.
Well, the issue, I think, as well, is that I have seen that work in some cases.
It's worked a few
times. Which also, in usual Amazon fashion, they're inconsistent in the way that they handle these. And so what happens is sellers hear that, oh, well, this worked for one person. I guess it'll work for everybody. So I'll just make up an employee to blame and make up a termination letter for this fake employee and say I fired them, and problem solved.
Well, that making up the employee that didn't exist and creating a termination letter, that part came later. So let's back up for a second. Historically, you couldn't blame any employees. The buck stopped with you. The owner of the account is supposed to be aware and monitor and know what their employees are doing. So going back in time, you would definitely get denied if you ever just said, oh, it wasn't me. It was my service provider. Oh, it wasn't me. It was my VA.
Right.
It wasn't me. It was my employee. What happened was there became such a huge pile of people trying to blame service providers, blame anyone other than the decision makers on the account for these actions, that they started kind of haphazardly letting a few people back on and reinstating them when they did prove with a termination letter that an employee made a mistake. They are somewhere in there, they're apologizing for not watching the employee. But in a twisted sense, somebody at Amazon decided, okay, well, they did lay out what the employee did. They did terminate them. There's a date on the letter that shows that they did it right after they were, you know, found to be doing something. So the definition of what a dispute is and what's acceptable or not became warped by this notion of, well, I guess you can blame somebody in your operation or somebody you hired some of the time or a little bit, as long as you give us other bits of information, like, who's the third party service? What's their name? What's their address? What's their phone number? Because for a while, Amazon was trying to accumulate information on all of these services, right? I think that's where this started.
I think that this is a step back. I think in terms of enforcement and in terms of stopping bad behavior on their marketplace, I think switching from you need to take responsibility for what happened on your account to, oh, well, we might reinstate you if you blame somebody else, is a step backwards in terms of making the marketplace better for consumers and better for good sellers. I'm sure many sellers listening to this will be like, shut up, Leah.
Well, no, I mean, it's because so many people, which we've talked about in other episodes, there are still people out there committing obvious product reviews, abuse violations. I don't know why some of them are still doing those things in 2024 that were dead 2 years ago. There are still people out there faking compliance documentation. There are still people out there trusting their VAs to do everything under the sun without watching anything they're doing, and policies are being violated left and right. There are so many of them that at least some parties at Amazon feel pressure to reinstate at least some of them. They need to feel like, we're making it tough on you. We're eventually going to let some of you back on. if you're willing to name names, if you're willing to throw the right people under the bus the right way, because they don't want to just make a blanket, none of these people will be reinstated. You're all permanently banned. None of you are ever coming back. We don't care if you're paying $5,000 a month for SAS Corps. We don't care if it's your first offense. They're not defining their own terms. They're not defining dispute is.
But again, if they don't want to permanently deactivate all of these people, then they shouldn't give a dispute only appeal
pass. Yes.
That's...
Thank you. So the problem is...
But just to go back to the actual verbiage in the notification, because the way they say that is, for the accounts anyway, has your account been deactivated in error? If you believe there has been an error, please submit an explanation from the email that you used to register your Amazon account. And your explanation should include, you know, whatever the information is for that specific type of dispute. So again, their wording doesn't say like dispute that you're responsible for this.
Yeah.
Their wording is show us that we made a mistake here. And so again, it's not a huge surprise because they are just generally inconsistent with how they do things. But I think that this was probably a decision that was made by somebody higher up. And then the team started receiving these weird disputes and weird appeals and probably were given no real guidance when they first started getting them. And maybe they still haven't. And so now it's just being handled however they think.
No one who's in charge of this change, because they did stop accepting improvement plans and plans of action for many things.
Yes.
I would say last year, let's say just sometime in 2023. Yeah, sure. It's been a good 12 months at least. Anyway, that person, whoever decided this, whoever's in charge of it, never went back and said, okay, you guys are doing this wrong. You're accepting disputes that aren't disputes. Disputes mean proof that we made a mistake, which we were always willing to reinstate somebody if you could prove that we were wrong. I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying that's probably what they would have said. But no auditing, no quality assurance on these investigations. I think the people who made the original decision don't even understand that the definition of dispute is confused and disorganized and chaotic and not being applied properly. I think they just launch it. They just wind it up and let it go. And after that, it's in someone else's hands for implementation purposes, for quality assurance.
Well, and it certainly doesn't help that half the time they respond to a dispute asking for greater details on your plan of action.
Right.
That doesn't help.
I wanted to do an episode about how wonderful it was that this whole fad or trend of sending that greater details message went way down last year into this year. We used to see that 6 times a day. Now we see it, I don't know, once a day. And I wanted to have like a positive podcast, you know, maybe sip some champagne and celebrate the fact that they stopped sending that idiotic, useless message.
No, they still send it.
They still send it. It's because the template, the response template still exists. So they can still grab it in a drop-down menu and send it
out. Well, and because they do accept plans of action for some.
Yes. I'm not saying they delete it and retire it. I'm just saying it's going to be sent occasionally, but it is good that they don't send that as often. What's worse is that we went from a universe which is very clear cut, very black and white. You're either disputing this, that Amazon made a mistake, and you have proof and evidence. Otherwise, forget it.
And that does happen fairly regularly, especially on the types of cases that I work on. Amazon does get it wrong a lot.
Right.
And you can submit a very clear dispute. The issue for my ones is that when it's at an account level for a restricted product, you've got seller performance. You don't know anything about product compliance, reviewing your product compliance, showing that you haven't violated any policies or laws. And they don't usually know what the hell it is that they're reviewing.
Well, they don't know the laws.
So they just say no because they have no idea.
So words of wisdom here. Before you start these appeals, before you confuse yourself, start confusing Amazon or account health when you call in, understand what a dispute is. Define it for yourself. Read what they're saying. Figure out what you've got for evidence or proof that you did not do what they said that you did. If they've caught you doing things and you think your only dispute path is to blame an employee or blame your virtual assistant that you had no idea what they were doing or blaming a third-party service, understand from the outset that that's probably not going to work. We understand in a few rare cases, people have magically gotten reinstated after blaming a third-party service. Yes, I understand that happened. Don't expect that to be a high percentage play.
And, well, and I'm going to quote a movie, and I can't remember what movie it was.
Casablanca.
No. But don't break the law while you're breaking the law. So if you've submitted false or manipulated documents, don't follow that up with more fraudulent or manipulated documents to try to prove your case. That's not going to help.
No, it's not. Because first of all, tons and tons of people are getting caught faking documents right now because Amazon's obviously gotten better at figuring out if you've edited or fabricated documents. But also, interestingly, some people are blaming their factory. Like, hey, it's the manufacturer that faked the documents. It's not us.
Well, what's unfortunate is that in some cases, that is actually what happens.
No, it is what happens. Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying.
Which sucks, but it is also your responsibility as a seller of record to make sure that they're the real documents that you're
doing. I've heard that's a hot trend right now is the compliance documents being faked, which is happening a lot right now. People are blaming the manufacturer, the factory. I'm assuming a couple of those people are going to be reinstated because they're going to get a letter. I think a few people I talked to said they were trying to get a letter from the manufacturer saying, admitting that they're the ones who faked the documents. And I can see that's going to probably work in a few cases. It's just not something you can count on. So
once again, I will not be surprised if Amazon doesn't do this, but if you get a letter from a manufacturer saying that they faked safety testing, I would be blackballing that manufacturer from Amazon. I would not be accepting documentation from anybody using that manufacturer.
Yeah.
Because probably didn't do it just once.
No, of course not.
I would also be required
fire the factory.
Right. I would be required proof that you're working with a different manufacturer.
Right. That was part of it. I think somebody was like changing manufacturers. So they documented that.
And also documenting how you're going to ensure that you are verifying the validity of anything that you're submitting, even if you're getting it from somebody else.
Yeah, hopefully they
are. Amazon, hopefully you're listening and taking notes.
No, I mean, Amazon's already hip to this stuff. That's the part of the problem.
Yeah, they're just doing it all the time.
Right. But yeah, I mean, there's confusion among sellers, what a dispute means, what will work, what won't, what you can make up, what you can't make up and get away with it. There's confusion on the Amazon side of what type of dispute will be accepted versus won't be accepted. We've heard different things from account team members, escalation representatives or management. And part of this problem is Amazon has to get all their own people on the same page on what a dispute actually is instead of telling people. I can't tell you how many calls I've been on lately where account health reps gave totally widely different answers to these questions. And then somebody calls and follows up and tells the brand owner, sorry, you got this information from one of our account health reps. It wasn't right. It wasn't accurate. That's not what they were trained to do. And the last time this happened, or the second to last time it happened earlier this week, I finally said, you know, we've had numerous calls like this with numerous sellers. We understand the apologies, but it keeps happening. What's actually being done to stop these account health reps from spreading this misinformation? Because many of them are saying, okay, well, maybe you can't dispute it. Write a plan of action. And they're not supposed to be saying that. They're supposed to be saying, don't send a plan of action. And what's that creating out in the community or in the consulting space is some sellers are approaching random law firms, consultants, or whoever and saying, I need a plan of action because Amazon told them to get a plan of action and they get some random junky template from the service they talk to, which is in plan of action format. It's submitted to Amazon. It has 0% chance of being taken seriously because they've already decided that a plan of action won't get you reinstated. That's the biggest, most damaging piece to this whole story. So I'll leave you on that wonderful upbeat note. I've had a lot of questions on this. I know you've had questions on it. If anyone's looking to get the true definition of dispute understood and defined and out there, let us know. I'm aware that some people at Amazon are defining it incorrectly, like on calls. I've heard some, whatever, account managers and so forth defining this wrongly. They're probably just getting bad info from seller performance. So take what you hear with a grain of salt. Have this as part of your strategy. You can't just interpret what a dispute means the way you want it to be. And you can't just start creating fake termination letters or creating employees that never existed and terminating them. I know we all love talking about AI, but please do not create an AI employee. that doesn't actually exist.
Well, so, as I learned from another podcast, it's not technically illegal if you pretend to be a fake person. It's only illegal if you pretend to be a real one.
I remember I was listening to that podcast with you. So questions on this, let us know. Thanks again for listening in. And we'll catch you next time on Sell Performance Solutions. Bye, Leah.
Bye.